Good day and welcome to the Vision Council's China Tariffs Town Hall. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ashley Mills, CEO of the Vision Council. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We have a very full agenda today that I hope you will find incredibly informative from a lot of different perspectives. We're going to start with your entire Vision Council team is here, and that includes our federal experts as well as our regulatory affairs experts and our in-house team. And what we are planning to accomplish today is an overview for everyone on exactly where we are right now, how we got here, of course, and then we're going to go into more specifics about what the environment is on Capitol Hill as well as in the regulatory space and the administration. We'll be fully briefed on exactly where we are, and then we are going to talk about what action the Vision Council has taken, what action we are preparing to take right now, and what action each individual member company can take. We're going to get started, but I wanted to also offer so that you're all aware that we are doing this with all of our divisions so that each of our different constituencies within the association who have potentially different perspectives on what's happening and different levels of concern and impact, we're hearing from all of them. So we've already talked to several members, of course, but just know that we are aggregating everyone's feedback, and this is all really happening in real time. So again, I will thank you for participating, and at the end of the call, you'll be able to be placed in a queue where we can take questions. So with that said, I'm going to turn it over to Rick Van Arnam to start with the briefing on where we are today.
Thank you, Ashley, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm sure the topic today is not new to any of you. If you've been paying any attention at all to the media or attending any of the Vision Council events for the last year or so, you've heard discussion about the ongoing trade war with China. So what I'm going to do is give a little background on what's gone on in the past year vis-a-vis the United States and China and this trade war. And it really started back in March of 2018 when the United States Trade Representative's Office published its findings in what's called a Section 301 investigation. And Section 301 investigations are it's an enforcement tool that allows us, the United States, to determine whether other countries are engaged in unfair policies or practices that are impacting U.S. trade. And this particular 301 investigation looked at certain Chinese acts, policies, and procedures, specifically as they related to forced technology transfers, alleged theft of intellectual property, and other unreasonable and burdening events that they threw up to prevent the United States companies from having wider access into the Chinese market. A result of that report was a conclusion that, in fact, China was engaged in certain acts and was creating certain barriers to trade, and that then the U.S. decided to take action to try to combat those alleged malfeasances. So back in April of 2018, the United States announced that it was going to assess additional customs duties on product that originates in China. Now, customs duties are assessed against the import value of merchandise coming into the United States, and they're paid by United States importers of record. I'm sure that's you're all on the telephone now because you're either currently paying additional Chinese tariffs or are concerned about that possibility. So the China trade war rolled out in phases, and the first phase basically referred to as List 1. And List 1 was the first list of tariff numbers that were assigned an additional duty corresponding to products that come from China. Now, the first list covered $34 billion in imported value of Chinese products coming to the United States, and it covered a little over 800 tariff numbers. It went live back in July of 2018, and it assessed an additional tariff of 25%. Now, there were some products on that first list that touched on the optical industry. Namely, there was some optical machinery, there were some ophthalmic instruments, and there was some electrodiagnostic equipment whose tariff numbers were called out in that first list of customs duties. The second list came out in June of 2018. Now, the second list came out because as a result of the United States publishing its first list, the Chinese turned around and published a list on its own assessing customs duties in China on product shipped from the United or originating in the United States and shipped into China. So that was sort of the first step up in the trade war here. So we published the first list. They retaliated. We in turn retaliated to their action and published a second list. Now, the second list covered $16 billion in imported value. And where the first list covered about 800-plus tariff lines, the second list covered approximately 280 tariff numbers. Now, this list went live in August of 2018, and it, too, assessed additional duty at the 25% duty rate. Now, when we looked at list two, we didn't identify any products that were really core products of the members of the Vision Council. So we sort of held our breath. The first $50 billion in total imported value that was now being subjected to a 25% tariff wasn't really hitting hard the core membership of the Vision Council. However, again, the Chinese retaliated to our list to publish their own second list, leading the United States to take another step to ratchet up the trade war. And we did this by publishing in July of 2018, so approximately 3 weeks after we published list two, we published list three. And list three covered $200 billion in imported good value. So whereas list one and two only covered 50, list three in and of itself covered 200 billion. Now, the 200 billion in list three and the 50 in list one and two represented approximately half the value of Chinese origin products being shipped into the United States on an annual basis. But list three, obviously, in order to get to $200 billion in imported value, had to touch many different items being imported in the United States. And as such, it identified just under 6,000 discrete tariff numbers as tariff numbers that would be subjected to additional customs duties for products that originated in China. Now, as I said, the list was published in July. It originally went live in September. Now, list three was of some concern to Vision Council because on list three, we did identify some products that were collateral to key products that Vision Council members are involved with. So, for example, eyeglass cases, certain lens cleaning solutions, and stand and handheld magnifiers were wrapped up in this list three escalation of the trade war. Now, at that point in September of 2018, when List 3 went live, the tariff assessed on the List 3 products was only 10%. However, it was made known that that 10% was going to graduate to 25% at the end of the year. Now, when the end of the year rolled around, because the two sides were negotiating, President Trump announced that he would hold in abeyance the increase of the List 3 tariff from 10% to 25% to a date in the future. Now, that date came back in early May. So as of, I believe it was May 17th, products that were on list three were now dutiable at 25% rather than 10%. So the status as of today is that approximately half the trade coming from China is subjected to an additional 25% tariff. And when I say additional, please keep in mind that this is like a penalty tariff that's assessed on Chinese origin product. You still have to pay the regular customs duties that would be assessed on those products. So for frames and for sunglasses and reading glasses, you'd be talking about the duty rate in a 2 to 2.5% range. So, lo and behold, it looks as if the trade war is being negotiated. It looks like there might be a peaceful resolution to this. And then there wasn't. Apparently, according to what the United States is claiming, is the Chinese came to the table but changed some of the terms that the parties had already agreed to, causing the United States to take a step back. At that point in time, the administration announced its intent to create a list four of tariff numbers. And this list four basically consists of the United States going all in with pretty much every available tariff number out there that to date had not yet been assessed at the higher China rate. So now we are definitely faced with the situation where key Vision Council member products could very well find themselves subject in the near future to an additional up to 25% tariff rate. Right now, we don't know what the rate will be or if, in fact, it will go forward, but steps are being taken by the administration to put that in place and to set a duty rate, and all we know about that rate is that it will not exceed 25%. So whether it starts at 10% and graduates to 25 like the List 3 did, or if it starts at a different number, those are things that we will have to determine as the process rolls out. So that, in a nutshell, is how we got to where we are. Now, Greg, at this point, I think we should maybe transition into the next steps that we're going to be looking at, which is the fact that we have an opportunity, meaning everyone has an opportunity, to submit written comments to the United States Trade Representative's office arguing why particular tariff numbers should be excluded from the list four list of tariff numbers. Now, the timetable for doing that is June 17, 2019, and that's the date that all comments need to be submitted by, and they need to be submitted electronically on the regulations.gov website. Vision Council is preparing comments that it will be filing on behalf of its members, and those comments are being prepared right now and will be filed before the June 17th deadline. We are also, however, preparing some templates that will be specific to the various key products at issue or that could be subject to additional duties in the event that the members would like to pull down a template, complete it, and file one in their own name. So that's one thing that we're preparing right now to do. The second thing that Vision Council is preparing to do is there will be an opportunity to appear before the U.S. Trade Rep prior to the date that a decision is made as to whether or not duties go into place. Now, that hearing is also scheduled for June 17th, and the deadline for submitting a request to be heard at that is June 10th. So Vision Council will be requesting the opportunity to be heard and will be providing with that request a short summary of the testimony it plans to offer. Now, once we get through the comment period, and once the testimony has been heard, the U.S. Trade Rep's office will take back that information and use that information to determine whether any of the tariff numbers that are on list four should be removed from the final list four. We are expecting that that whole process will likely be completed before the end of June. And the reason we say that is that two things. First of all, we have the G20 meeting at the end of June, so it's likely that the president would like to have this as a negotiating chip in his pocket, either a chip to throw in, say, well, we'll back off of this, or a chip where he might say we won't start enforcing it for another, you know, X number of months if the parties go back to the bargaining table. But we're expecting that may be the target date for the U.S. trade rep taking what is now only a proposed list of tariff numbers, going through the notice and comment period, and then finalizing and promulgating a final list. The second reason we think June might be the appropriate time is that this Secretary Mnuchin a week or so ago basically said he heard that it looked like end of June would be the target date as well. So based on those two anecdotal events, those of you who are trying to plan your supply chain in the near future, consider the end of June as probably the earliest that these additional duties could go into effect. So, Greg, is there more that we talk?
Thank you, Rick. I thought that was a very good summary of what we're doing in terms of U.S. Trade Representatives outreach. Bill, can you give us an overview of the congressional and White House engagement, please?
Sure. Thanks, Greg. And thanks, Rick. As Rick said, we're preparing comments, official comments from the Vision Council that will go into the U.S. Trade Rep, to USTR. We're going to take it a step further and also have TVC's comments sent directly to both the White House and USTR from Capitol Hill. As you may know, if you've been on previous calls, our Government Relations Committee and our eyes and ears and boots on the ground in D.C. are regularly up on Capitol Hill working with members of the Senate Finance Subcommittee on Trade, as well as the House Ways and Means Subcommittee on Trade. And there are a few of those individuals that we've already begun discussions with. We have a prominent chief of staff from a Republican office that's close with the Trump administration that has volunteered to essentially walk our comments over to the White House. He's in regular, twice a month meetings with the administration on trade issues. So we feel good in that, we not only want to communicate TVC's concerns directly from the association, but also from members of Congress that have been supportive of the Vision Council over the years. So we will be doing that. Additionally, we're working through congressional channels to see if they can also communicate to USTR the importance of the Vision Council having a seat at the table for live testimony. We'll see how that goes. There's obviously a very long list of individuals that would like to be at the hearing on June 17th, but we do want to increase our odds by having folks from the Hill communicate to the administration. We're also taking advantage later this month on June 27th, which is National Sunglasses Day. We are hosting, the Vision Council is hosting a congressional staff briefing. We'll be focusing on National Sunglasses Day like we always do in terms of UV protection and eye health. But additionally, this year we'll be using that as an opportunity for our Government Relations Committee Chair, Frederick Greffel, to educate congressional offices that are in attendance at that briefing about our trade issues, additionally sharing our official comments. So we're hitting on all cylinders, House, Senate, and within the Trump administration to make sure that our voice is loud and clear.
Great. Thank you, Bill. And finally, I'll touch on what we're doing with our allied associations. Beginning in the fall of last year, we began to work one-on-one with our different allied organizations from the professional societies, educating them on this issue and what the impact would be to their members ultimately and down the road all the way to their patients. I believe it was last week we hosted another town hall type of working session with our allied associations to, again, educate them on this issue. And during that call, Rick Van Arnhem gave the group a very good overview of the situation. We're hoping that they will also take us up on our offer to provide them with model letters that they can send to the U.S. Trade Representative's office, as well as joining a larger letter that would come from all the major optical groups who would be impacted by this action. So that's, you know, from a holistic point of view, that's what we're doing as an organization as we speak, and we really appreciate everyone's support and assistance on this. And as Rick mentioned earlier, when the model letters come, are sent out to all the members, we really strongly urge you to take those letters and customize them, personalize them, and send them to the U.S. Trade Representative's office, as well as a copy to us here at the Vision Council, so that we can follow up accordingly. Garrow, can you begin the Q&A process for the members so they can engage directly with the folks on the call?
Yes, thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please signal on your telephone by pressing star and then 1. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach your equipment. A voice prompt on the phone line will indicate when your line is open, and please state your name before posing your question. Again, that is star and then 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal for questions. We can now take our first question. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is open.
Hi. In listening to the next order of business, is there a template letter that you have that we can follow to Congress, to the Senate, to whoever the judicial bodies are we want to send?
Yes, this is Greg. We will be sending those template letters out to all members. That's a good point. We'll also include template letters for both USTR and congressional letters as well. That's a great idea. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We can now take our next question. Please go ahead. Your line is open. Caller, your line is open. Please go ahead. You might have yourself on mute. Please unmute your line.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Well, applicant may be best to answer this question, but what are the odds? What are the chances of success, and what are the risks associated with failure of getting this exemption? How prepared should we be getting?
Yes, this is Bill Applegate. Thank you for your question. And Rick Van Arnhem might be appropriate to weigh in here as well. In terms of chances for success, very, very difficult to handicap the situation overall. And the reason I say that is because so much is out of anybody's real direct control. Obviously, this is, you know, coming down to the administration and how they want to proceed. So I think, you know, we must weigh in. We must make sure that the appropriate policymakers at all levels, you know, understand our concerns, understand the urgency here. And I think that's the best play that we can make. But I would defer to Rick as well in terms of just the actual process.
So I'm not as optimistic as Bill, and I will be perfectly blunt with you all on the phone here. It's going to be a heavy lift here. When we look at what's happened in the past, let's look at the list three. So I said list three, we had $200 billion in value. We had about 6,000 tariff numbers. So it'll be a little less than what list four will look like, but it's still fairly comparable. List three went through the same notice and comment period. And at the end of the day, of the original, there were like 631 tariff numbers. I think they dropped fewer than 300. So you know, you need to understand that this just we have an interesting argument. We're going to be arguing the medical benefits associated with wearing eyewear, whether it be prescriptive eyewear or whether it be protective eyewear. So we have that angle to play. It's also something, you know, eyewear is near and dear to the decision makers here, so that it should have some resonance with them when we talk about what what this means in terms of the eyewear industry. But the process based on past results has not been very fruitful to those who have asked for exemptions.
Garrow, is there another call? Another question, Garrow?
Sorry, there's now another question in the queue. So we'll take our next question. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is now open.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Please go ahead.
Oh, I was curious to know the other allied health associations that you've been talking to. Can we understand who you mean by that?
Sure. So the other allied groups are those that are represent the professional societies from optometry, ophthalmology, opticianry, et cetera. Right now we're in conversations with them on getting a unified position on this issue.
Okay, and the other thing is, do you have a timetable yet for the templates or the talking points you might suggest for people to put in their comments or letters?
I believe we're hoping to get those out this week, but I'll defer to Rick to answer that question.
Well, yeah, it's my goal to get them out this week. The filing date is June 17th, so there's sufficient time between now and then to get something prepared and get something filed, but that's our target.
Thank you.
Thank you. We can now take our next question. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is open.
Okay. I just have a quick question. In terms of looking at historical, you know, the way that tariffs have gone down in the past, something like this, would you anticipate that costs are typically, you know, passed on to the consumer? Is there historical knowledge of, you know, how that's kind of absorbed?
So this is Rick, and again, I don't really have privy to that type of information. I don't know, maybe someone from Vision Council has information on what the traditional approach to dealing with these added costs would be. I mean, anecdotally, I've, you know, certainly read many news articles from quoting importers from all sorts of areas of commerce talking about how they're trying to pass these costs on and whether they'll be successful. Mm-hmm. But again, as for whether that's what Vision Council members will do, I can't speak to that.
Sure. Thank you.
There are no further questions in the telephone queue at this time. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one. We have no further questions in the telephone queue at this time.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining this call on this important topic. We really appreciate your time. And as we go through this fluid issue, we will continue to keep everybody in the loop of what's happening and watch for your emails in the coming days for the model letters. And we thank you in advance for your support and assistance for an issue. Thank you, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.